Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Taniyot Perek He. Until this point, Hilchot Taniyot has been about fast days decreed on a community or accepted by an individual in response to some tzara, an affliction or calamity taking place at the time. Our perek, the last one in Hilchot Taniyot, moves to a different type of fast day, a fast which marks the date of a tragedy, or several tragedies in Jewish history. After listing these dates and the tragedies that they commemorate, the Rambam moves to the special dinim of the most stringent of these days, Tisha B'Av, and the time period immediately before it. The perek ends with a list of dinim about how we recall throughout the year the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Before we get to any of this, however, Halacha Aleph starts off with the answer to a basic question. Why do we fast at all over events that happened thousands of years ago? Yesh sham yamim, shekol Yisrael mit'anin bahem mipnei hatzarot she'aru bahem, kedei le'orer halavavot v'liftoach darchei tshuva. V'yeh ze zikaron l'maseinu haraim u'maseh avoteinu sh'aya k'maseinu ata. Ad shegaram lehem v'lanu otan hatzarot, shebezichron dvarim elu nashuv lehitiv. Shnemar, v'itvadu et avonam, et avon avotam. There are days during the year when we fast because of historical tragedies which occurred on those days. This is done in order to awaken the hearts and to open the paths which lead to tshuva. How does fasting accomplish this? Because by thinking about the sins of our forefathers, which led to these tragedies, and to the consequences of those tragedies, which continue to affect us even today, we realize that our own behavior is equally sinful and problematic. The reason we still suffer from the ripple effects of the tragedies of the past is not because our ancestors sinned, but because we continue in their path and repeat their sins. This realization is the first step to improving our own behavior, and this is the meaning of the pasuk in the Tochacha, a parsha b'chukotai, v'itvadu et avonam v'et avon avotam. The Jewish people will confess not only their own sins, but also those of their ancestors. Rav Soloveitchik notes a very interesting distinction between the description we just read and the way the Rambam characterizes a tanit be'it tzara at the very beginning of Hilchot Taniyot. In Perek Aleph Halacha Bet, the mitzvah d'oraita of blowing the chatzotzrot and crying out to Hashem during an eitzara is called midarkei hatshuva, an integral part of the process of tshuva from the sins which brought on the tzara in the first place. The following halachon in Perek Aleph introduced the concept of a tanit tzibur as a rabbinic extension of this mitzvah, and therefore also in the category of midarkei hatshuva. In contrast, the purpose of the historical taniot is described here in Perek He as kedei le'orer halavavot v'liftoach darchei tshuva, to awaken the hearts in order to open the paths of tshuva. The connection to tshuva is less direct and far more tenuous in this second type of tanit tzibur. The explanation, according to Rav Soloveitchik, is clear. When one faces an existing calamity in the present, the acute feeling of distress serves as an immediate impetus to introspection and repentance. But when one ponders an unfortunate historical reality which has existed for centuries or millennia, even if this too is perpetuated because of our sins, the sense of urgency is lacking. This does not represent a part of the tshuva process itself, but at most a springboard which may initiate a process of tshuva after considerable thought and reflection. This distinction explains two significant differences between the two types of taniyot. We saw at the end of Perek Aleph that Beit Din would spend much of the day on a tanit be'et tzara examining the actions of the people, and would order certain sinners to change their behavior. The communal prayer service on the last seven taniot forein, described in Prakim Gimel and Dalid, includes a speech by one of the zakenim exhorting the people to abandon their sins and return to the path of mitzvot. These are both features of the tshuva process, of which a tanit be'et tzara is an integral part, and both make no appearance in the descriptions of the historical taniot in our perek. In Halacha Hey, we'll see two additional distinctions between the types of taniot, which are also rooted in the different role each one plays in the process of tshuva. Halacha Bet. Ve'elu hein, yom shlishi b'tishrei. Shabo nerag Gedaliah ben Achikam v'nichbat gachelet Yisrael hanishara v'sibev lahateim galutan. V'asiri b'tevet, shabo samach melech bavel nevuchadnetzar harasha al Yerushalayim v'heviyah b'matzor uv'matzok. ב-17 בתמוז, ב-5 דברים אירובו, בו נשתברו הלוחות, ובטל התמיד מבית ראשון, והופקעה ירושלים בחורבן שני, ושרף אפוסטמוס הרשע ספר תורה, והעמיד צלם בהיכל. There are four fast days on which we commemorate stages in the destruction of the two Batei Mikdash, including tragedies which follow the actual destruction. And the Rambam lists them in the order they occur in the calendar year, starting on Rosh Hashanah. The first of these is the third day of Tishrei, known as Tzom Gedalia, on which Gedalia ben Achikam was killed. Gedalia ben Achikam was governor of Yehuda in the years after Churban Bayit Sheni, and he ruled over the small portion of the people who remained behind after most of the nation was exiled. He was killed after only a few months by Yishmael ben Netanya, a pretender to the throne of royal descent, and his murder led to the exile of the last remnant of the population and the end of Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael for generations to come. The Beit Yosef records that though the Rambam says that Gedalia was killed on Gimel Tishrei itself, other Rishonim believe that he was killed on Rosh Hashanah, and the observance of the fast is delayed until after the holiday. The second fast day is the 10th of Tevet, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, initiated the siege of Yerushalayim, which eventually led to Churban Bayit Rishon. The third fast is the 17th of Tammuz, on which five tragedies occurred. In the wake of Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchot, which he brought down from Har Sinai, as described in Parshat Kitisa. In the year of Churban Bayit Rishon, as a result of the siege of Yerushalayim, which began on the 10th of Tevet, the daily Korban Tamid could no longer be offered, starting on the 17th of Tammuz. In the weeks before Churban Bayit Sheni, the Roman soldiers breached the walls of Yerushalayim on this day. The final two tragedies on Shiva Shiva Tammuz were actions taken by Apostamos, a Greek officer who persecuted the Jewish people during the period of Bayit Sheni. He burnt a Sefer Torah in a very public display of antagonism toward the Jewish people, and he set up an idol inside the Heichal, the inner sanctum of the Beit HaMikdash. We note that other Rishonim, including Rashi, believe that the idol in the Heichal is a reference to a much earlier event and was put there by King Menashe of Yehuda, who went astray and was drawn after Avodah Zarah for much of his very long reign, over 50 years. Halacha Gimel. V'tisha Be'av, v'chamisha dvarim erubo, בו נגזר על ישראל במדבר שלא ייכנסו לארץ, וחרב הבית בראשונה ובשנייה, ונלכדה עיר גדולה וביתר היה שמה, והיו בה אלפים ורבבות מישראל, והיה להם מלך גדול, ודימו כל ישראל וגדולי החכמים שהוא המלך המשיח, ונפל ביד גויים ונהרגו כולם, והייתה צרה גדולה כמו חורבן המקדש, ובו ביום המוכן לפורענות, חרש טורנוס רופוס הרשע מלכי אדום את היכל ואת סביביו, לקיים ציון שדה תחרש. This brings us to the most severe of the historical fasts, Tisha B'Av, whose special dinim we will learn in Halachot Vav through Yud Aleph. This day, too, marks five different tragic events. As a result of Chet HaMeraglim, it was decreed upon our ancestors in the Midbar on Tisha B'Av that they would not enter Eretz Yisrael. The destructions of both the first and the second Beit HaMikdash took place on Tisha B'Av. 60 years after Churban Bayit Sheni, many people, including many great Chachamim, among them Rabbi Akiva, thought that the time for redemption had arrived, and that the Mashiach was a great general named Bar Kokhba. When his fortress in the city of Beitar was destroyed by the Romans on Tisha B'Av, accompanied by the slaughter of thousands of Jews and the capture of Bar Kokhba himself, this was considered a terrible tragedy on par with the Churban Bayit Sheni itself. Finally, just after the Bar Kokhba revolt, the Roman governor of Judea, Turnus Rufus, plowed over completely the area where the Heichal of the Beit Mikdash had stood, at the behest of the Roman Emperor Hadrian, in order to symbolize the absolute victory of the Roman Empire over the Jewish people. This fulfilled the tragic prophecy of Yirmiyahu HaNavi that the Mikdash would become like a plowed field. Halacha Dalet, Yemei HaTzomot HaElu, Harei Hen Meforashin BaKabbalah, Tzom Revi'i, V'tzom HaChamishi, V'tzom HaShvi'i, V'tzom HaSiri. Tzom HaRevi'i, Ze Shivasar B'Tammuz, Shuba Chodesh HaRevi'i. V'tzom HaChamishi, Ze Tisha B'Av, Shuba Chodesh HaChamishi. V'tzom HaShvi'i, Ze Shlosha B'Tishrei, Shuba Chodesh HaShvi'i. V'tzom HaSiri, Ze HaSiri B'Tevet, Shuba Chodesh HaSiri. What is the source that we fast on these 4 days of the year? Is this practice mentioned anywhere in Tanakh? These fasts indeed appear in the words of the Navi Zechariah. In a pasuk which the Rambam will quote in full at the very end of our perek, Zechariah makes reference to Tzom HaRevi'i V'tzom ha-chamishi, v'tzom ha-shvi'i, v'tzom ha-siri. The fast of the fourth month, Tammuz, which is fourth counting from Nisan, the fast of the fifth month, Av, the fast of the seventh month, Tishrei, and the fast of the tenth month, Tevet. So do these fasts have the status of Midivrei Kabbalah, a yearly observance with a source in Tanakh, similar to the holiday of Purim? This is not as clear, because the same pasuk from Zechariah goes on to say, as we'll see in Halacha Yotet, that these days will not remain fast days forever, and will in fact eventually become days of rejoicing. The Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah distinguishes between different historical periods when these fasts are Midivrei Kabbalah and when they have the status of Minhag, a custom, with a possible exception of Tisha B'Av, which may always be Divrei Kabbalah. And it isn't clear in which type of period we have been since Churban Bayit Sheni. The opinion of the Rambam may depend on the girsa in the first line of the next halacha, Halacha Hey. V'nagu kol Yisrael bizmanim elu lit'anot b'shlosha sar ba'adar. Zecher l'taniyot sh'nit'anu b'imei haman, sh'nemar divrei atzomot v'zakatam, v'imchal shlosha asar v'adar v'yot v'shabbat, makdimin u'mitanin b'chamishi, shu achat asar. Aval echad mi'arba'a yimei atzomot sh'chal v'yot v'shabbat, dochin oto l'achad v'shabbat, chal v'yot v'erev shabbat, mit'anin v'erev shabbat. In our Girsa of the Rambam, as I just read it, this halacha discusses a fifth yearly fast, which does not appear in Tanakh, nor is it even mentioned in the Gemara, except, according to some Rishonim, in one oblique reference at the beginning of Masechet Megillah. This is what we call Tanit Esther, on the 13th of Adar, just before Purim. This fast is in memory of the fast which the Jews observed when their lives were in imminent danger due to the decrees of Haman, approved by Ahasuerus, to eradicate the Jewish people and the Persian kingdom. The Rambam begins the halacha with the phrase "V'nagu bizmanim elu" to indicate that Tanit Esther has the status of a minhag because it has no source in Tanakh. His use of this phrase only here, in contrast to the last halacha about the other four fasts, suggests that only Tanit Esther is a minhag, and the other fasts are midivrei Kabbalah. But the Magen Mishnah has another girsa on the Rambam, which differs from ours possibly by only one letter, but that letter makes a huge difference. He reads the beginning of our halacha as follows. V'nagu kol Yisrael bezmanim elu lihit'anot. U'vishloshasar ba'adar, etc. The vav before bishloshasar indicates that these words begin a new sentence, meaning that the previous words of V'nagu kol Yisrael bezmanim elu lihit'anot refer to the four fasts from halacha Dalid. And hence the Magen Mishnah understands that according to the Rambam, even the four fasts commemorating the stages of the first and second Churban have the status today of Minhag. This is the opinion of most other Rishonim as well. To be perfectly clear, whatever the status of the four fasts nowadays is, they are unquestionably obligatory. Even if they are a Minhag, the Magen Mishnah concludes, they have been accepted by Klal Yisrael as a whole, and are a Chovah al Kol Yisrael ad Shibaneh Beit HaMikdash. The only practical difference between being a minhag and being the Divrei Kabbalah is how easily these fasts may be pushed aside in extenuating circumstances, like sickness or an emergency situation. We note that the continuation of Halacha Hei, which we read, may support our printed girsa, because in it the Rambam draws a practical distinction between Tanit Esther and the other four fasts. If Tanit Esther comes out on Shabbat, then it is moved back 2 days to Thursday. If one of the other fasts comes out on Shabbat, then it is moved forward to Sunday. The Rambam's placement of this distinction right after the introduction of Tanit Esther may be a way to illustrate that the fasts have different statures. The other four are Midivrei Kabbalah, while Tanit Esther is a Minhag. Any fast which comes out on Friday is observed that day. We note that in our calendar, the only fast which can come out on Friday is Asar B'Tevet. The other four can and frequently do come out on Shabbat, but Asar B'Tevet never comes out on Shabbat. Continuing in Halacha Hey, uvechol atzamot ha'elu ein matri'in v'lo mipalin tfilat ni'ila, aval kor'in batorah shacharit u'mincha b'vayichal Moshe, uvecholan ochlin v'shotin balayla chutz mitisha ba'av. All five fasts do not have ni'ila, nor do they have the blowing of chatzotzrot, and the kriyat ha'Torah is v'ayichal Moshe from Parshat Kitisa. In all except Tisha B'Av, we may eat at night, and we fast only during the daytime. We discussed earlier of Soloveitchik's distinction between a Tanit Be'etzara, which is part of the tshuva process, and the historical Taniot, which are meant to inspire and initiate a process of tshuva. This distinction is reflected in what we just read. The blowing of chatzotzrot only makes sense in a Tanit, in which one is actively doing tshuva and crying out to God. Ne'ilah is a tefillah whose purpose is to top off a full day of prayer, as it does for us on Yom Kippur. A Tanit Be'etzara is the quintessential day of prayer, and so it includes Ne'ilah, as we saw at the end of the last perek. But the historical Taniot are the beginning of a process, not days of intense prayer themselves, and so Ne'ilah is skipped. Similarly, the Kriyat HaTorah on a Tanit Be'etzara is the Brachot Uklalot, the Tochacha from Parsha B'chukotai, as we saw at the end of Perek Aleph. This very sharp and intense reminder of divine punishment isn't appropriate for the historical fasts, and so we read Vayechal Moshe instead. We note that the Rambam seems to be imprecise when he says that we read Vayechal Moshe at Shacharit of each of the five fasts, because the Torah reading on the morning of Tisha B'Av is different, Ki Tolid Banim Uvnei Banim from Parashat Vayetchanan, as the Rambam wrote in Hilchot Tefillah and as we practice today. Halacha Vav. Mishi Kanes Av Mematin B'Simcha. V'Shabbat Shachal Tisha B'Av Yot B'Tocha, Asur L'Saper U'L'Chabes, V'Asur L'Bosh Kli Megohatz, Afilu Kli Pishtan, Ad Shi'avor Atanit, V'Afilu L'Chabes U'Laniach L'Achar Tanit Asur, U'Chvar Nagu Yisrael Shlo L'Echol Basar B'Shabbat Zo, V'Lo Yikansu L'Merchatz Ad Shi'avor Atanit, V'Yesh Mekomot Sh'Nagu L'Vatel Ashchita Merosh HaChodesh Ad HaTanit. The next six halachot discuss the special dinim of Tisha B'Av, starting with the days leading up to it. From the start of the month of Av, we cut back on pleasurable activities. The Rambam doesn't elaborate, but the Shulchan Aruch specifies that we cut back on Masa Umatan and Binyan Shel Simcha. These are familiar to us from Perek Gimel, as the practices which begin after the Sheva Achronot if there is still no rain. The Shulchan Aruch also writes that we avoid facing off against a non-Jew in court during this time, because it is a period of bad luck, and that we do not make weddings from Rosh Chodesh Av. The Ramah records the custom of Ashkenazim not to make weddings from Shivasar B'Tammuz, 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av. During the week in which Tisha B'Av falls, Shavua Shechalbo, according to the Rambam, we do not shave, get haircuts, do laundry, or wear freshly ironed clothing until after the fast. Doing laundry is forbidden even if the clothing isn't worn until after the fast. The custom, adds the Rambam, is also not to eat meat or to bathe during this week, until after the fast, and in some places, he concludes, no meat is shechted from Rosh Chodesh until after the fast. The Shulchan Aruch quotes different opinions about when each of the abstentions listed in this halacha begins. Ashkenazi practice, based on the Ramah, is to avoid shaving and haircuts from Shivasar B'Tammuz, and to begin the other practices of Shavuot Shechalbo from Rosh Chodesh, the period we call the 9 days. There are 2 points in which the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah are more stringent than the Rambam. One, while the Rambam forbids wearing only a freshly ironed garment, the Shulchan Aruch writes that the custom is not to wear even a freshly laundered garment that has not been ironed. Two, the Rambam only mentions not eating meat, while the Shulchan Aruch adds that we also don't drink wine. Even the Rambam's more limited psak of not eating meat is based on custom, because the Mishnah and Gemara forbid meat and wine only at the Sudah HaMafseket, the meal just before the fast, as we learn in the next halacha, halacha Zayin. Tisha B'Av lelo kiyomo l'chol davar, ve'ein ochlin ela mibaod yom, uvein ashmashot shalo asur kiyom ha-kipurim, ve'lo yochal basar, ve'lo yishte yayin basudah ha-mafsik ba, aval shotehu yayin migito shiyesh lo shlosha yimim ha-pachot, ve'ochel basar maliach shiyesh lo shlosha yimim o-yater, ve'lo yochal shnei tavshilin. The fast of Tisha B'Av begins at night, like Yom Kippur, so one may only eat on Erev Tisha B'Av until just before Ben Ashmashot. One may not eat meat or drink wine at the Sudah HaMafseket, as a form of mourning the loss of the Beit HaMikdash, where meat and wine were routinely offered on the Mizbeach. Therefore, types of meat and wine, which could not be offered on the Mizbeach, may be eaten at the Sudah HaMafseket. This includes wine which was squeezed from grapes at most 3 days earlier, and has not had time to ferment properly, and meat which was salted at least 3 days earlier, and is therefore considered to be of lesser quality. In addition, one may not eat two cooked foods at the Sudah HaMafseket. Since most people want a pre-fast meal with more than one cooked food, the general custom is to eat a meal without bread in the early evening and to leave time for a suda mafseket with bread and one cooked food, like a hard-boiled egg, a food customarily associated with morning, just before the fast begins. Halacha Chet clarifies that none of the restrictions we discussed against meat or wine apply on Shabbat of the 9 days, even if this is Erev Tisha B'Av, in which case there are no restrictions on the Suda Mafseket, but it still must end before sundown, and even if Shabbat is itself the 9th day of Av, and the fast is postponed to Sunday. Halacha Tet describes the custom of the Chasidim HaRishonim at the Suda Mafseket, which the Rambam considers the appropriate practice for Chachamim. A person would sit alone on the ground and eat dry bread with salt, then wash it down with a pitcher of water. He would eat in a state of worry and desolation, crying like one who has just lost a relative. The Rambam writes that he himself would never eat cooked food on Erev Tisha B'Av except when it came out on Shabbat. Halacha Yud. Ubarot uminikot, mit anot umashlimot b'tisha b'av. Pregnant and nursing women are required to fast on Tisha B'Av, just as they are required to fast on Yom Kippur. What about the other fast days discussed in this perek? The implication of the Rambam is that they do not need to fast. Indeed, the remainder of this halacha discusses prohibitions which are certainly unique to Tisha B'Av, so it makes sense that the same is true of this din in the first line of the halacha. The psak of the Shulchan Aruch is indeed that pregnant and nursing women don't participate in the other fasts. But he adds, as we saw in Perek Gimel regarding the fast for rain, that they should eat only as much as necessary and avoid indulgence. The Ramah rules that l'chadchila, a pregnant or nursing woman, should fast if it does not pain her to do so. But if it does, then she may certainly eat. Continuing in Halacha Yud, v'asur birchitza bein mechamin bein mitzonein, v'afilu loshit etzba'o b'mayim. V'asur b'sicha shel tanug uvinilata sandal uv'tashmish hamita, ki yom ha-kippurim, u'makom shenagu la'asot bo melacha osin, u'makom shenagu shelo la'asot einan osin. U'v'chol makom talei chachamim b'teilim bo, v'amru chachamim shekol ha'oseh bo melacha eino ro'eh siman bracha le'olam. The other four inuyim of Yom Kippur apply on Tisha B'Av. Washing even one limb is forbidden, and even in cold water, like on Yom Kippur, and unlike the more lenient case of the fast for rain. The prohibitions against nilata sandal and tashmish hamita similarly have the same parameters as on Yom Kippur. Smearing oil on the body, sicha, is forbidden only if it provides pleasure, sicha shel ta'anug, like the fast for rain and unlike Yom Kippur, when even sicha she'ina shel tanug is forbidden. Rav Salvechik explains that on Yom Kippur, the prohibition against sicha is a form of shvita, cessation from mundane physical activity, as we discussed back in Hilchot Shvitat Asor. Therefore, the question of whether an act of sicha provides pleasure is irrelevant. Only on Tisha B'Av and on the fast for rain, where sicha is forbidden as a form of self-affliction, is the prohibition limited to sicha shel tanug. There are different customs about doing melacha on Tisha B'Av, but in any event, Talmidei Chachamim abstain from melacha, and Chazal said that anyone who does melacha on Tisha B'Av will not ultimately see any benefit from it. The Ramah writes that the custom is to abstain from melacha until midday, but the Magen Avraham adds that even after midday, one should not get so involved in melacha that he becomes completely distracted from the morning of Tisha B'Av. Halacha Yud Aleph. Talmidei Chachamim ein notnin shalom ze laze b'tisha b'av. Ela yoshvim davim nenachim kavilim. Vim natan lehem am haaretz shalom, machzirin lo b'safa rafa v'chovet rosh. V'asur likrot b'tisha b'av v'torah u'banviim u'baktuvim, u'vamishna u'v'alachot u'v'atamud u'v'agadot. V'eino korei ela b'iyov u'v'kinot u'v'adorim haraim shebiyirmiya. B'tinokot shel beit Rabban b'telin bo, u'miktzat chachamim noagin shelo laniach bo tfilin. Talmidei Chachamim don't greet each other on Tisha B'Av, but rather sit, sighing in agony like mourners. As we saw regarding the fast for rain in Perek Gimel, if an Am Haaretz greets a Talmid Chacham, he responds in a subdued tone and in a serious manner. The Shulchan Aruch rules that greeting one another is forbidden in general on Tisha B'Av, and not only for Talmidei Chachamim. It is forbidden to learn Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh on Tisha B'Av, because learning Torah is an experience which gladdens the heart. Pekudei Hashem Yesharim Mesamchei Lev. The only exceptions provided by the Rambam are the books of Iyov and Megillat Eicha, what he calls Kinot, and the prophecies of destruction and exile in the book of Yirmiyahu. The Shulchan Aruch adds that it is permitted to learn the Midrash of Eicha, as well as the third parak of Masechet Moed Katan about the laws of Avedut. Even young students do not learn on Tisha B'Av. The Rambam writes that some Chachamim would not put on tefillin on Tisha B'Av. The Shulchan Aruch records the common custom not to put on talit and tefillin at Shacharit, but to put them on at Mincha. Halacha Yud Bet. Mi shecharav beit hamikdash tiknu chachamim shayu b'oto ador, she'en bonin la'olam binyan mesuyad mechuyar kibinyan hamelachim, ela tach beito batit v'sad basid u'meshayer makom ama alama k'neged ha'petach b'lo sid. V'halokeh ha'chatzer mesuyedet u'mechuyaret harei zo kechezkata v'ein mechayvin oto l'kalef haktalim. At this point, we move off the topic of fast days until the last halach of the perek. And from here until the end of the parak, the topic is Zecher leChorban, general practices or prohibitions enacted in order to remember the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. The first is that one may not build any building with ornate designs as are common in a palace. Rather, he covers his home with plaster and leaves a spot of size 1 amma by 1 amma opposite the door, which isn't plastered. However, if one buys a home whose walls are decorated, he may leave it as is and is not required to scrape the decorations off the walls. The coming halacha would list many other practices which were enacted Zecher leChorban, only some of which are observed nowadays. We summarize the ones which have practical application and omit the rest. When a chatan gets married, he puts ashes on the part of his head where the tefillin shel rosh are placed. The Rama adds the custom of breaking a glass. And some have the custom for the chatan to say the pasuk of Imeshkachech Rishalayim Tishkach Imini just before doing so. There was a gzera established against playing musical instruments, which for the most part isn't practiced today, though some weddings in Yerushalayim follow a stringent minhag Yerushalayim, which permits only one musical instrument at a wedding, with vocal accompaniment. Halacha Tet Zayin. Mi shera'a arei Yehuda b'churbanan, omer arei kodshecha hayu midbar, v'koreah. Ra'a Yerushalayim b'churbana, omer beit kodshenu v'tifartenu v'chulei v'koreah. U'meichan chayav likroa, minat sofim. U'chishyagi l'amikdash, koreah kera acher. V'im paga b'amikdash tchila, kishyavo miderach hamidbar, koreah al amikdash u'mosif al Yerushalayim. One who sees the ruins of cities of Yehuda, or the ruins of Yerushalayim, must tear his clothes, in each case after reciting an appropriate pasuk from Yeshayahu foretelling the destruction. The minimal size of a tear is a tefach. When he later sees the ruins of the Beit HaMikdash, he must tear again in a new place. Or, the Shulchan Aruch adds, he may add a tefach to the first tear. In contrast, if he sees the Mikdash first and then Yerushalayim, it is enough for him to extend the first tear he made, even by a very small amount. In Halacha Yud Chet, the Rambam adds that Kriya on Yerushalayim is only done by someone who hasn't seen it in the last 30 days. Some Achronim believe that Kriya for Arei Yehuda and for Yerushalayim is only necessary when non-Jews control these areas, and therefore this requirement does not apply nowadays when they are part of the State of Israel. Others disagree, because we tear over the fact that other religions have a foothold in Arei Yehuda and in Yerushalayim, and even the State of Israel has no power to tear down churches and mosques in its territory. In any event, according to all opinions, one must tear his clothes when he sees the ruins of the Beit HaMikdash, because the area of Har HaBayit is under non-Jewish authority. Halacha Yud Zayin. Kol HaKra'im Ha'edu Kulam Biyad U'meyumad. וקוריא כל קסוט שלב עד שיגלת דיבו, ואינו מאחר קראים אלו לעולם, אבל רשאי הוא לשללן, למעלן, לאקטן ולתפרן כמין סולמות. All the tears from the last halacha must be done by hand, while standing, and one must tear all layers of clothing down to his chest. These tears may never completely be mended, but they may be sewn in a haphazard manner in which the tear remains clearly noticeable. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the opinion of the Rambam this halacha, but the Raivin and his Asaga here, as well as other Rishonim, believe that all the details appearing in the Rambam, whose source is the stringent form of Kriya one performs upon the loss of a parent, don't apply to Kriya on the holy places from Halacha Tet Zayin, with the one exception of not mending the tear completely. But the Kriya on the holy places may be done with an implement rather than by hand, and only the outer garment needs to be torn. Finally, Halacha Yutet. Kol ha'atzmot ha'elu atidim libatel limot ha'mashiach. V'lo od ela shem atidim liyot yamim tovim b'mei sason v'simcha. Shnamar, ko amar Hashem tzakot, tzom ha'rivi'i v'tzom ha'chamishi, v'tzom ha'shvi'i v'tzom ha'siri, yiyeh l'veit yivda l'sason v'simcha u'madim tovim v'aymet v'ashalom ehavu. All the fasts discussed in this parak will eventually be nullified at the time of the Mashiach, and will in fact become days of Yom Tov and of great rejoicing. This is exactly what is said by Zechariah in the pasuk we quoted earlier in the parak, which lists the four fasts commemorating stages of the Churban. The condition for this, however, are the words at the end of the pasuk, V'aymet v'ashalom ehavu, that the Jewish people love truth and peace, and put these values into practice in their interactions with one another. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.